Okay, well, if I can renew the welcome, it's good to see everyone. I want to turn you to Exodus chapter 20. We've been working our way through the Ten Commandments, and we come today to the fourth commandment, which is in verse 8, begins in verse 8, runs through to verse 11. So Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Remember the Sabbath day. Now, this fourth commandment is a call to us to rest. That's what the word Sabbath means. It means to rest. Not every day. We've got to do some work as well. But after 6 days of work, the command to the Hebrews here is that on the seventh day, they should rest. And not just rest, but give the day to the Lord. It should be holy to the Lord your God. So, as we work our way through, this is where we've got to today. Now, what are we going to do with this? I think the first thing we can say, just still by way of introduction, is that this is something which is going to give us trouble. I say that because it's one of the longest commands. It's as if the Lord knows we're going to need a bit of explanation. We're going to need a bit of persuasion in order to really get what this is about. So it's going to give us some trouble. But the fact it's the longest also means that it's really needed. And we don't really think in our culture at this level. But a pattern of life, a rhythm, a set of habits, that's a really strong way of reinforcing things. Now, we've all got habits, we've all got patterns, and those habits, those patterns, they constantly reinforce whatever we are doing. And what's happening here is God is giving a pattern, a rhythm to his people to help them really work the gospel into their whole lives. So, I think it's worth noting that as we begin. Another thing to say about it is this command is very revealing. And it shows us that God is really not trying to take from us. Because what's he commanding us to do here? He's commanding us to take a break. He's commanding us to take a day off. He's commanding us to rest. Now, so often, our attitude to anything from God is to feel like it's a threat. God is trying to take from us in some way. But here we see that that's not what God is trying to do. Here is God trying to give. He's trying to say, don't work too hard. He's trying to say, take a day off. It's very revealing, I think, about God and his own heart towards us. Still, by way of introduction, I'd also throw out there that I think this command, this need to rest, is very urgent. We live in days when most of us are exhausted all the time. We're stressed all the time. It's one of the great words of the 21st century. We're so stressed. And often our lives feel a little bit chaotic with no pattern. We feel as if we're firefighting all the time, as if we're just in survival mode, just trying to get through all the maelstrom, all the storms that are in our life. Is it just me, or is it you too? I think it's universal, isn't it? We all feel like that, and there's something in our culture that creates that. You know, we're online 24/7. We've got demands. We're accessible 24/7. We've got so much choice. We can do anything we want. It's exhausting just trying to manage the information flow, let alone single out what it is we want to do and what it is we need to do. I think it's a very urgent thing then for us to learn to have some rhythm in our lives, some perspective in our lives, some pattern, some stable pattern of rest that will give some balance. And in many ways, that's what this Sabbath day, this Sabbath rest idea is. It's about hitting the reset button on a regular basis where we just stop, we gain some perspective, we gain some balance, and we remember that there's bigger things in our lives than the urgent and the immediate and the things that drive us. So all of that by way of just sort of general introduction. Now, there's a big idea here in this command that I want us to get. When we're talking about resting, which is what this command is about, there are really two sides to the rest that we need. There is the external rest of our bodies. That's the one we think about. But there's another kind of rest which comes first and is more important. There's the inner rest of our souls. And what I want to do today is to focus on that inner rest. Because this Sabbath day that God gave to his people in the Old Testament, it was not just about stopping work. It was much deeper than that. The practice of doing Sabbath, if I can use that phrase, of doing Sabbath, it enabled an inner rest. It was about an inner rest of the soul. Now, I've started talking about the Sabbath day, and I'm guessing that's pushing all sorts of buttons and asking questions about, you know, does that mean we're supposed to take a day off, and is it Saturday, and is it Sunday? And I'm not going to deal with those today. I think those are the secondary questions. I think we may go for that next week when we talk about the outer rest. But what I want to do first is go for the most important. I want to ask the question, well, what is the inner rest that this Sabbath day gave to these people? Well, what? How did it do that? You know, we do need inner rest. We've got to set our hearts at rest. And that's what the gospel does. It's the only thing that can really set our hearts at rest. And what this Sabbath day did was point people to the gospel. And in a very powerful way, a very physical way, in a very obvious way, it taking this Sabbath day rest, it brought the gospel into focus, and it helped these people, harassed people, stressed people, to lay hold of the gospel again and to enter into this rest of the soul. Now, if anybody's still with me, what I want to do then is try and understand how it did that. How did having a Sabbath day take you to the gospel? How did it drive home this gospel truth and bring rest to your soul? Well, it did it in a number of ways. Number one, when you did Sabbath, you were making a declaration. And one of the declaration you were making was, I am not God. That's the first thing you were saying. So when these people had their Sabbath day rest, they were acknowledging something. They were declaring, I am not God. Now, if you read back to the beginning of the Bible, you find that that's exactly what the serpent told us. He says, you will be like gods. And that, of course, is what we like to think about ourselves. We are sovereign. We are, the phrase is, the sovereign self. It's about me. My life, at least, is about me. I'm in charge. We would like to be gods. We behave as if we were gods, as if we were self-sufficient. Well, tell me, how's it going with this project to be like gods? How are you getting on? Are you doing a good job running the world? Do you feel as if you're getting somewhere running your own life? Is it going well? I think if you're like me, and if you're like most people, it's going pretty badly. And it's one of the reasons we feel so exhausted and so harassed and so stressed. You see, if you think that you are like gods, if you are seeking to be the center, do you know what's happening there? You are taking on burdens which you are simply not equipped to carry. You are trying to function and live well above your pay grade as a human being. You are worrying about things that you're just not equipped to worry about. You're trying to achieve things that you're simply not equipped to achieve. That's why we're so often feeling crushed and exhausted. The serpent said, you will be like gods. We said, yes, okay. And then we try it, and we find that the burden is crushing. Now, Sabbath rest was one of the weapons God gave his people against that. Because what you were doing was, one day in seven, you were saying, enough. I'm tired. I need to rest. What you were saying was, do you know what? I am not God. I am limited. I need to break off. I cannot carry continually the burdens that I'm carrying. I cannot worry about the things continually I'm worrying about. I have to let someone else worry. I have to stop. I have to rest. Here's a quote from a man who's written helpfully on this subject. I'm going to quote him a few times. Timothy Keller is a pastor in America. He says, "To practice Sabbath is a disciplined and faithful way to remember that you are not the one who keeps the world running, who provides for your family, not even the one who keeps your work projects moving forward." So, I want to say to you that one of the deep, powerful things that the Sabbath was meant to do for God's people was this. It wasn't just stopping activity. It was declaring, do you know what? I am not the great I am. It was about laying down the burdens and recognizing they're not our burdens. And you know, that's one of the ways whereby we find rest for our souls. We're letting God take the strain. So that's the first thing. Doing Sabbath meant you were declaring, I am not God. Second thing, there's another declaration involved with the Sabbath day. And that is this: I live by grace, not by works. That's the next declaration that you were making by stopping. Now, we maybe don't use those categories, but deep down, every one of us lives by works, by our own performance. We know that nobody gives you anything in this life. If you want to get somewhere in this life, you've got to earn it. And of course, at an economic level, that's perfectly sensible, isn't it? Nobody owes you a living. You've got to go make a living. Our problem is not that, that's fine. But our problem is the human problem now. We sort of apply this works performance principle at every single level. You know, at the level of our relationships, at the level of our self-acceptance and our own image. And so all the time we're thinking, have I done enough? Am I a good enough person? Am I a nice enough person? Have I read my Bible enough? Am I a righteous person? And we're always looking within and we're saying, have I done everything that I could be doing? Now that's a really hard way to live. Back in the 2000s, there was a big film, Saving Private Ryan. And spoiler alert, I'm about to tell you the story. It's about a soldier who's far behind enemy lines, and they send a whole platoon of men to rescue him. And as they go behind the enemy lines to find this man and rescue this man, they start dying. They're getting killed. They're behind enemy lines. And they finally find him, and then the last man who's alive, he gets shot, and just his dying words, he says to this Private Ryan, whom they're saving, he says, look, we've all died trying to rescue you. Earn this, he says to him, earn it. And the scary part of the film is that you meet this Private Ryan who was rescued at the cost of all these men's lives, and who they said, earn it. You meet him as an old man, and he's walking through the cemetery, the war cemetery in France, and he's seen the graves of those who died for him, and he breaks down in tears. And his family's all around him, and he's saying to them, he's saying, tell me I'm a good person. Tell me I'm good enough. Tell me I've lived a good life. Do you see what an incredible burden it was for this man to be told, earn this? How can you earn such sacrifice? How could you possibly live a life good enough for such sacrifice? It's impossible. It's crushing. Now, that's what happened to Private Ryan in the story. But I want to suggest to you that that's instinctive to all of us. We're all insecure, wondering if we're good enough, wondering if we've done enough. We're all exhausted because we're constantly trying to do more and try harder. We all live by works. Now, the great thing about the gospel The great thing about the Bible is that it comes to us and it brings another way, a completely different way to relate to God, to relate to other people, even to relate to ourselves. Not our performance, but as a gift by grace. See, the gospel is that Christ has done the work. He's lived the perfect life. He's paid for our sins. He is worthy, and he will save us if we put our trust in him. So it's not about me and my performance. That's not how my life is a success. That's not how I get to heaven. That's not how I get to know God. No, it's Christ. I put my trust in him, and he's the one who gets me in. He's the one that makes me accepted. Now, that's the gospel, isn't it? Not works. That's exhausting. That's futile. That's crushing. But it's grace. Christ does it all, and he gives me this great, wonderful gift. Okay, that's the gospel. What's that got to do with the Sabbath day? Well, look at it this way. Say you were one of the first Hebrews to get this, and you've got this command, remember the Sabbath day, don't do any work on the Sabbath day, and you're a farmer, and you don't get your food from Asda, you grow it. And if the harvest fails, you don't eat, and if you don't eat, your family doesn't eat, and everybody starves. And so harvest time is a massive time. And maybe you've just got a small window of opportunity to get the harvest in. And so at harvest time, you're working hard. You're seeking to do it. And it's all hands on deck. You've got everybody there trying to bring the crops in so that you'll be safe for the next few months while you grow the next crops. And then the Sabbath day comes. And you're supposed to stop. The harvest is not in yet. And I'm supposed to stop work. What are you going to do? If you are living by grace, if you know that actually it's God who's looking after you, it's God who's keeping you, it's God who's doing the work, if you're living by grace, do you know what you do? You leave the fields and you spend the day with him because you trust him. But you know, if you're living by works, if you think it's all down to you, there is no way you leave that field. No way. There's too much at stake. You've got to work because it's all about you. It all depends on you. So you see, when you were keeping the Sabbath day then, you were making a declaration, not just that you are not God, but that you trust God, that you're not living by your own works. You're living by grace. You're depending on him. So that's the second thing, second way that the keeping the Sabbath, it worked the gospel into your life. Can you see that? Every 7 days you stopped for a whole day, it would remind you that, well, the world carries on without you. God is in control and you're still okay. You're still saved. It's because of God's grace, not your works. Third declaration you were making. Third declaration that the Sabbath was, is this. You were saying to yourself and to the world, I am free and I am no longer a slave. See, we must never forget that the people who got these Ten Commandments had spent 400 years as slaves in Egypt. And towards the latter end of their time there in Egypt, they had had a horrendous time. They had to make bricks without straw. And we read that they had undergone harsh labor. And one thing's sure, they never had a day off. Never. Never. But now, of course, they've been redeemed. And it doesn't say it in Exodus, but in Deuteronomy, it says that the Sabbath day is linked to that. In Deuteronomy 5, God says to them, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. See, that passage links observing the Sabbath day with being free. You've been redeemed from slavery. So you see what the Sabbath day was declaring when you stopped. And you spent that 24 hours without working. You were making a declaration. You were saying, I'm no longer in slavery. You were saying, I've been redeemed. I'm no longer obeying Pharaoh. I'm no longer doing harsh labor. I'm no longer making bricks without straw. I am free. I am a slave no more. Isn't that powerful? You can see how for these Hebrews, that was really important. You have to spend your whole life in slavery to be able to have the power to say, not today. I'm not working today. Why? I'm a free man, free woman. I don't have to suffer and be driven anymore. So doing Sabbath was about declaring your freedom also. Now, what's that got to do with us? Well, I think the Bible argues that slavery is still an issue. Jesus said, whoever sins is a slave to sin. The Bible talks about us being driven by our own desires, driven by insecurity perhaps, controlled by our fears, following idols that we set up and serve. As far as the Bible is concerned, slavery is still a live issue. And we still do hard labor. We're still trying to make bricks without straw. And there's still never a day off. Now, the gospel is that we've been redeemed from that. We read it in Matthew 11. The Lord Jesus Christ, he stands and he says to everyone out there, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, Jesus is the one who gives us the rest. He's the one who fulfills all that the Sabbath day is pointing to. So still, the Bible connects the Sabbath and slavery and us and slavery. So, do you know, resting even today, it makes the same declaration. I am not a slave anymore. Now, listen to this. This is Tim Keller again. This is quite strong. I'm not saying it, obviously he's saying it, so be offended at him. Anyone who cannot obey God's command to observe the Sabbath is a slave. Your own heart, or our materialistic culture, or an exploitative organization, or all of the above, will be abusing you if you don't have the ability to be disciplined in your practice of Sabbath. Sabbath is therefore a declaration of our freedom. It means you are not a slave, not to your culture's expectations, your family's hopes, your employer's demands, not even to your own insecurities. Then he says this, it is important that you learn to speak this truth to yourself with a note of triumph. Otherwise, you will feel guilty for taking time off, or you will be unable to truly unplug. So you see, taking a rest, doing Sabbath, it's not just about stopping work. It's declaring you've been redeemed. It's declaring you're not a slave. It's declaring you've got a new master whose yoke is easy and whose burden is light, whose command to us is, take a day off. You need to rest. Tell you what, that is rest for your souls, to have a master like that. Doesn't drive you, whose yoke is easy, and his burden is light. So that's three. Can I squeeze another one in? I'm doing it anyway. So we've said, there's declarations coming. I am not God. That's what we're declaring. That gives rest to our souls. I live by grace, not works. That's what we're declaring. That gives rest to our souls. I am free, no longer a slave. That gives rest to our souls. Fourth one. By keeping the Sabbath, you're saying there's another world. You know, verse 11 here says that God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And he's referring to Genesis chapter 2 in the creation of the world. God made the world in 6 days. The seventh day, he blesses the seventh day and he makes it holy. That's the quote. We got it there in verse 11. Have you ever wondered how that works, though? I mean, according to the Bible story, the world at that point was perfect. It was sinless. So how could God make the seventh day holy, more holy than the other six? How could God make the seventh day more blessed than the rest of creation, the other 6 days? How can a holy world be made more holy? How can a blessed world be made more blessed? Have you ever wondered about that? How could he bless a world that was already blessed? How could he make holy a world that was already holy? Well, here's the answer. God always had a plan for something greater. Always a plan for something greater. You know, the Garden of Eden and that perfect world, perfect as it was only ever the beginning. That's why he says to Adam, he gives him a job to do. He says, I want you to fill the earth. His job was to spread the Garden of Eden, the cultivation of creation around the globe, to fill the earth. It was progress, you see. There was a plan still. And we know from the Bible that the story doesn't end with the first creation. The whole aim has always been a new creation, which will be everything the old was, and then some. So the seventh day then, the Sabbath day, back there in Genesis 2, it's being blessed, it's being made holy as a signpost to this new creation, to this bigger plan, to this greater blessing. So, keeping the Sabbath day then in the book of Exodus, that was a rest that was intended to point to the rest. You see, it was a day of rest that was just a signpost. You were supposed to think, okay, there's more than this world. There's another world. There's a new creation. There's a blessing beyond any blessing this world can give. There's a holiness beyond any holiness this world can give. There's a joy beyond any joy this world can give. There's another world. There's a day of resurrection. And that explains why in the New Testament, the Sabbath day becomes the Lord's day. Because there's a progression, there's a fulfillment of this forward-looking promise, this aspect of the Sabbath day, which is pointing to God's end game, to the new creation. And when Jesus rises again from the dead, well, that's a significant step forward in this ultimate plan, in this end game. Now, maybe you didn't follow all of that. Happy to talk about it later. But you see what its implication is. When you do Sabbath rest then, what are you saying? You're saying, my citizenship is in heaven. My identity is not my job. My identity is not my labor or my lack of labor. My identity is not found in the here and now. I'm a citizen of heaven. And what you do when you keep Sabbath like these people were supposed to, you go back to the empty tomb and you look at the resurrected Jesus and you look into the future and you say, well, there it is. And that's rest for your soul. Now, what I've been trying to do this morning is talk about this first aspect of Sabbath rest, what it's about. It's about rest for your soul. It's about pointing us to the gospel and doing it in a way that is disciplined and a pattern. That's what it was for there. Now, we're going to stop there. What we're going to do next week, I think, is look at the outer rest. Because we're not Hebrews, are we? We're not in the Old Testament. What does it look like for us to keep Sabbath then, to do this rest? And that's what we think about next week. Okay, shall we pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we have an instinct to detach the things of God from our everyday routine and life. And though we may be genuine believers, yet the rest of our life can simply mirror everybody else's. And Lord, we pray that as you challenge that through this book, through your word, through this command, you really help us to receive everything you have for us, Lord. Help us to trust you, that you're not trying to take, you're trying to give. And Lord, help us to think more deeply about the gospel and to see how we need all the help we can get to bring it into the center of our hearts and minds. And Lord, show us the Savior we ask. Give us grace. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.